ברשותכם, everyone's permission, חג שמח. We are continuing in Paleoetz. Today's shiur is dedicated to Lunishmat, Malka bat Jalinus, Chana bat Shemuel, Shlomo ben Eliyahu, Zerubbabel ben Gabriel, Tzivya bat Mashiach, Tamara bat Mashiach, Yosef ben Nisan, and Liora bat Yitzchak, Baruch Hashem, Vinicham began Eden. And we are learning about Galut, about exile. And so far, for the beginning of it, Paleoetz is talking about personal exile, a person exiling himself, or so to speak, exiling his children, sending your children away in order to be able to learn Torah. If a person is in a place where he's not able to learn Torah, or he's in a community or in a place where there is no Torah, Peleoetz is saying, even if Parnassah is good in that place, you know, dislodge yourself in that place if you can, or from that place if you can, and move to a place of Torah. Heve gole limkom Torah. It's Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. Exile yourself to a place of Torah, a place where you can grow in your Torah learning and where you can be influenced positively by the Jewish community that you have around you. Ve'im itztarech. We're going to continue here. And he said at the end that he says it's very important for a person to find a shiur, find a rabbi that they connect with and that they can be close with. He said, and if you have such a rabbi in your city, if you have such a rabbi or such a yeshiva in your town, all the best that you can say. But if a person doesn't have it, go to another place even to be able to learn Torah. And for some people, it's that exile itself. It's the very fact that you left home and you went to another place in order to learn.
To another place because you don't connect with your rabbi in your town?
Yeah, so for some people, that's how they're able to be successful in Torah. Some people, it's just the fact that they moved. It's just the fact that you went out on your own and you don't have the stresses that you have, whatever they might be, that you have at home. Some people are successful just by virtue of the fact that they moved. So we're continuing. Ve'im itzterech liyot gole, o bishvila Torah, o sheolech bidrachim, ba'avur parnasato kederech atagarim. And if a person has to travel, you have to exile yourself. You have to leave home. Either you're leaving for the Torah, you're leaving for yeshiva. By the way, which is another type of thing that they used to do in Babel, the Gemara said, is they had yarche kala. They had people who had different business arrangements that in how they did their business. Some businesses, they were based something solely on like shows that they did a few times a year, like today. And outside of that, mostly they were learning. A few months at a time, they would go to learn Torah, and then they would those few shows a year, that you know, that's where they, that's how they made their parnasah for the year. That was their parnasah for the year. Other than that, like what. But, you know, what do I have to be working for? Learning Torah is more important. And there were others that had an opposite arrangement, that they were working 5 months at a time, and then they would take a month to study Torah. And then
each one had a formula.
But each one had a formula where they built a period of time in their schedule that they were
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. But they built a formula where they put a time in their schedule that they were studying all day. They were studying during that time. They were only studying because Baruch Hashem, you know, the rest of the year, you know, I can, if I work 10 months out of the year, I can make Parnassah in 10 months out of the year. They would work 5 months, learn for 1 month. Learn, work for 5 months, learn for 1 month.
I know people that are not even Jewish and they do this.
Yeah, it's very healthy. It's very healthy for
in Italy. We used to do it. We used to work 10 months and then 2 months vacation.
two months,
10 months
vacation.
July and August.
So he says, if either because of Torah, I said, or you travel because your business is that you have to travel in order to sell. Right, so tov la gever sheyichaven veishpoch sicha sheyichashuv lo haderech ahi bishvil galut. That a person should think to himself, and even in his tefillah, consider that the fact that I have to travel and go through the pain of travel, and you know I cannot be in the comfort of my home right now, it should be a kapara for me. It should be a kapara. The fact that I have to uproot myself from my home.
What's the significance of kapara?
It means
kapara is an atonement for a sin.
Yeah, to pay for a sin.
So it's much more comfortable if a person has a zechut to be able to learn Torah at home, to be comfortable in his home and to be with his family and to be with the community that
he
grew up in.
The wife cooks for you and you study while you study, she takes care of you.
The fact that he has to travel is, so he said, you should have a kavanah that the fact that I have to travel and that I have to be away.
He said, please Hashem, since I'm traveling, make this the kapara for my sins.
Yes, let it be a kapara for my sins that I'm traveling.
So you can do that because you travel.
Veshehu mekabel gezeyar ha-shamayim be'ahava liyot godeh l'chaparat ha-avonot. And I accept it from Hashem with love. This is what I have to do.
Simchatenu.
Kimamar Rabotenu Zal, as our rabbi said, Shamru and Brachot Galut Mechaperet Avon. Exile, having to leave one's home, that can be an atonement for a person's sin. That can be a kapara for a person's sin. Uvilvar, one condition, says Peleowitz, Sheishamer Baderech Asher Olech Mikol Davara, that while you're traveling on your own, you guard yourself from every evil. You shouldn't be like a person that on one side you're cleaning yourself. Right, I'm cleaning my neshama because I'm in kapara, I'm in galut, I'm
on the other side,
but then on the other side, Chas v'Shalom, he's dirtying his neshama.
She sees the way.
He said, don't be that kind of guy. He says,
right, when you're traveling, it's not easy. I want to tell you, it's very hard.
So imlo, Hashem's eyes are everywhere.
Yes, but it's very hard.
Melochol haaretz kevodo.
Especially if you have to spend Shabbat away from the family. Wow.
So it's very difficult. So he's saying it's a kapara for a person. That a person has to do it if a person is required to do it. And it's a kapara, the fact that he has to be exiled. He said, as long as a person is not chas v'shalom, he's getting his kapara and cleaning, you know, like the kid that you clean one spot, but then the next spot becomes dirty, and the other spot becomes dirty, chas v'shalom. Let's say you don't have that, if you will, zechut. You're not going to get kapara from traveling because you don't have to travel. Well, there's other types of galut.
There's
yesh. There's
always a solution.
So there's a galut in your hometown, eh?
Yesh, okay. This is going to be great. Yesh, okay. Dira tell me, bayit le bayit v'chashu galut. Some people, they have to go from one home to the other. And now we have our sukkah connection. He says, Share Amru. Because one of the things Chachamim said, Shema she'anu golin bechag mi bayit la sukkah. On Sukkot, right, we exile ourselves from our home.
So you're in a galut.
To go live in the sukkah. So we're in a bit of a galut whenever we go in the sukkah.
Look, now right? It was raining last night. You know, if you went in the sukkah, it was...
So we have to go eat in the sukkah. Now, actually, some people make a mistake with this, that when it's raining in the sukkah, a person doesn't eat in the sukkah. You shouldn't eat in the sukkah. Once it's raining enough that the rain is coming into the sukkah, the Gemara says, Mishatisrach ha-mikpa, when the rain is getting in your food. And if it's a very light drizzle and there's no rain in the sukkah, you can still sit there. But when there's rain and it's getting in the sukkah, the Gemara says, don't sit in the sukkah. And it says, Kol ha-patur min ha-davar ve-oseo nikra hediot. If you're exempt from doing it, and you do it anyways...
It's also not good.
It's also not... Why you don't accomplish anything. You cannot say a bracha.
Don't add.
You can't say a bracha. You cannot say a bracha of leshev basukkah. Because you're exempt from doing it.
It's not pleasurable.
But even without the rain, it's a bit of an exile. You know, you're exposing yourself to the elements.
No doubt.
Expose yourself to the weather.
So, animals.
So even that, he says, you could have a kavanah, hulanu legalut mechaperet avon. The fact that I'm sitting in my sukkah,
right?
I'm sitting in joy and I'm sitting in happiness, I accept it with love, but that should be a galut in and of itself. And that should be a kapara for my sins. It should be a kapara for my avon. The fact that I'm sitting in my sukkah or I'm sleeping in my sukkah.
Rabbah, you can say...
Or if you're learning in the sukkah or I'm eating in my sukkah or sleeping in my sukkah, inside the sukkah, I'm in a bit of a galut, and in those moments where I'm a little bit uncomfortable,
please,
because I'm not as comfortable as when I'm home,
say, accept my kapara.
Hashem, let it be a kapara for my avonot that we're sitting in the sukkah. V'laze yichaven, gam kshehulech mibed ha-kneser ulir bet ha-midrash. He said, I'm giving you other little ideas of galut. He says, you go to Kanisa, you go to synagogue to pray, you go to the bet ha-midrash to learn. Okay, yes, I could sit in my pajamas at home and that would be more comfortable. But
it could be COVID, you know?
But I'm getting up and I'm getting dressed and I'm going. And yes, I love the Knesset, but it's not as comfortable as home. So that's a bit of a galut as well. Especially if it's raining outside, and especially when it's raining outside or it's very cold, it's much more difficult to say, I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna put on clothes and I'm gonna take my umbrella and I'm gonna make my way to Knesset or to the Beit HaMidrash. So that's a galut.
Welcome back.
That if a person who says, I'm going to uproot myself from my home, I'm going to dislodge myself from my
galut.
Home.
He was in galut. We missed him yesterday.
He was in galut. So sometimes even going to the synagogue or going to the Beit HaMidrash is a type of galut, because you're dislodging yourself from your comfortable home in order to go to Knesa. So that's a galut. And a person can have
going
kavana,
to the office.
This should be a kapara.
So going to the office in the morning, is it also going to the galut or not?
He's not done yet. He's not done. As oh, sheyoshev kol halayla bebet hamidrash v'no miyushav b'shivato v'shkavato k'mavato. A person is staying late at night to study in the Beit Midrash and learning in the Beit Midrash. You're not as comfortable as you could be as you would be with the setup that you have at home. So yikabel be'ahava v'yaseh b'simcha. Do it with joy, with happiness. Or a person, you can pray at home in theory, you could put tefillin on at home, but you pick yourself up.
So us, we come in the morning at 7:20.
So you can say, this should be a galut for me.
Okay,
this should be a little bit of a galut.
It's
a kapara for our avonot. You should have it in mind. Right, especially if it's difficult for you. Especially if getting up in the morning is a challenge and getting yourself to challenge.
What if you look forward to that?
If you look forward, then maybe it's not such a galut. Maybe the galut is being home.
Yeah.
now you go. V'chein arve psachim. And then also on Erev Pesach, when you start getting the couple of days and weeks before Pesach, right? Shemifanim abatim b'avur b'dikar chametz. Right, wife is cleaning up the home. Umoshivin et ba'al habayit. She sends her husband into exile.
Go out. Get out.
Get out. Go eat mentanulak in Hailem. They had a spot between the ovens, the most uncomfortable spot. Get out of the house. Don't eat inside the house. Right? So that's a galut. It's a galut.
Every single aspect.
Incredible. 2 weeks a year, you have a galut. Our wives send us to galut. Go eat. Yikabel be'ahava. Accept it with love. Yichaven she'eh galut mechaperet. And say, this galut should be a kapara for my avonot.
Galut.
A person can have that kavana anytime. The Gemara very beautifully says there's so many different types of kapara, and all of us need kapara, and Hashem can do it in the smallest of ways, and Hashem can, hopefully nobody should have it. Hashem can do it in something big and horrible. But kapara could be as simple as the Gemara says that a person is taking out his wallet and he's trying to find the right bill, and he's having difficulty finding the right bill, or he's finding difficulty finding, he takes the nickel before he finds the dime. That's a kapara for his avonot.
The point is to see it, that it's kapara.
Yeah, the point. This is what Peleot is saying. Sometimes even the slightest discomfort, and we can say to Hashem, God bless you. Thank you, Hashem. Let these be our kaparot.
You miss a train, it's okay, it's a kaparot.
Let these small ones be a kaparot. And Sfaradim always had this minhag also. We would say, anytime a slight discomfort or slight something would happen, you say, kapara, kapara. Yeah. It should be a kapara for my
Biggest
my
is when they insult you.
That's what we were saying before. This is the beginning of the show. Every time said you have to derech tiltushu muchach la'asot, you have to take something to somewhere and to deliver something to somebody. It could have been easier for you. You didn't have to do it, but now you have to get up and you have to go and you have to do. So ben dvar litzma ben atzorach la'asot parnasato. Whether it's something that's a mitzvah purpose. And to go help somebody, to do a kindness for somebody, a chesed, to do any type of chesed for someone, or whether it's for your parnasa, that extra effort or push that you have to do that's uncomfortable for you and that's not easy for you, you should think, Hashem, let this be a kapara for me. This is a kapara, the fact that I have to deal with this or that I have to do this. And accept it with love.
Amen.
And we hope and we pray that all our kaparot should be these small kaparot.
Amen.
We shouldn't need more than the small kaparot.
Amen.
Shekimosh Amru, like our Chachamim said, Mali kol nefesh, Mali miksat nefesh, ken adavar hazeh, Mali galut gadol, Mali gadol muat, hakol oleh cheshbon. He says, what's the difference? You have big galut, you have a little galut. Right? Even the little galut is considered a galut. Even the small galut is galut. Galut is galut. It's galut. The fact that I have to get up and I have to go, that's considered galut. As long as a person has the kavanah for this and he accepts it with love from Hashem. It's known what our Chachamim said. So you have two contradictory statements in the Gemara. One says, Galut lo hiniach midah tovah liYisrael. Galut only caused trouble for the Jewish people. And in Eretz Yisrael, it's easier to fulfill mitzvot. When we're in Galut, it's not good for the Jewish people. But v'hem amru ya'e Galut al Yisrael. But on the other hand, they said Galut is good for the Jewish people.
Because they become closer to Hashem.
So is the Galut good or is the Galut bad? So v'ani omer, so now Peleret is saying, let me explain it to you. Let me explain it to you.
Yes.
Yeah. He's talking now. So now he's getting to the fact that we are outside of Israel. That we're in Galut.
The ones who are
outside of Israel. Before we were talking about personal. You have to, the personal Galut.
Now as a nation.
Now we're talking about as a nation. Is Galut a good thing or a bad thing? So Peleret, let me explain to you what's good about it. Let me explain to you what's not good about it. I'll explain to you. Shagalut ha-nefesh lo tov Yisrael. Whenever it's something that affects the soul of the Jewish people, when it affects the Jewish people spiritually, negatively, that's not good for the Jews. V'ra'ui l'mi sheyesh v'cholet b'yado l'ivroach m'makom shemachbidim ulam al Yisrael y'dvarim ha-nogim ha-nefesh. And every Jew should do his best if there is a place that they cause trouble for the Jewish people to keep their religion, leave those places.
Sure, no doubt.
Jews that are in a place that they force them to keep their religion in hiding,
like in Mashhad,
they're persecuting the Jewish people for being Jewish, or they're persecuting the Jews for their religious practice. Don't stay in those places. Do your best if you can to leave those places.
Yeah.
It says Kigon. He says Sheyesh mekomot she'en manichin nisa isha leish ad sheyamut nasui acher min ha'ir. I don't understand what this means. Maybe somebody can explain it to me. But he says there are some places they don't allow a person to get married until another person dies, until a married person passes away. I never heard of this.
Never heard of this either. Wow. Or maybe India.
I don't know. But basically, you're not able to get married. You're not able to get married because you can't get married.
They don't give a marriage certificate.
Here's another example. Sheyesh mekomot shenotnim et hayudim ba'al korcham u'malichim otam neot ba'alei melchama. They force the Jews to go to the army. And to go to the non-Jewish army. And the army, obviously, there's no kashrut, no minyan, no this, and so v'hem uchrachim latzer mevidat yidut. Says they have to leave all their Judaism for these years that they're forced to serve in the army. There's a forced draft. They force them to leave everything Jewish. V'chayin gzerot kashrut minagim ra'im sheish b'tzav malchiyot. And there are many of these types of gzerot that are very bad for the Jewish people. Mi ha'ish asher yesh yecholet b'yado la'akor diyato v'yiruach misham v'yino mishadeh la'asor ken atidin liten et adin. If you have the ability to get out of there, sometimes they don't let you leave. But if you have the ability to get out of there and you don't, he says, you're going to pay judgment for it, for not leaving that place. He says, ki yoter ra'ui livroach mimkomot elu. It's best to run away from those places. You should run away just like you would run away from a place that there's a plague, chas v'shalom, and people are dying, or there isn't enough food, there's hunger. You would leave that place to a place where there is food.
I left Italy.
Leave to a place. He's going to get to Italy soon. Monday morning. He says, if a person. And if a person doesn't leave because of his money, he'll lose his money. Right? What caused the righteous to go live amongst the wicked? Right, like Lot. What
is money?
Right,
it's for money.
It was because of money.
Always
you know
for
what?
Money.
Therefore, they're going to lose their
always.
Money.
Always. You lose your side because of money.
Therefore, they're going to lose their spirituality. And they lose their money also. They'll lose their money also. So, Shemana. So, listen to me. It says, Pele Yoetz. Sheken ra'ui liyot goleo boreach me'ir sheyoshvei resha'im. If you're in a city that the people are not good people,
get out.
Get out. Leave those places. If it's not in your hands to help fix them, or to help do good, or help improve them, yivrach lo me'oda ha'ir. Run away from that city. Peni safe ba'avon ha'ir. Because sometimes a person can get caught up in the avon of the city. Right? Like what happened to Sodom. Sodom is the example. Right? Even though there might have been a couple of tzaddikim, but there weren't enough to be a zechut for the people. Even the tzaddikim, or Yerani Dachat, same thing. The majority of the city worships Avodah Zarah. It says, destroy the city. Even the righteous people, even the tzaddikim in that city. How come? Because you chose to stay in that city. Because you're judged together with... The Hashem has two kinds of judgment. Hashem has judgment where He judges us personally. Hashem has judgment where He judges us
as a nation.
As a nation, or as a community. So Penny Kaveh Bagachalatam, he says, don't let yourself be burned by their coal, by being with them. And now he's gonna get into some specifics, Bezrat Hashem, on Monday of certain countries 200 years ago. Pele Yoetz has comments for. Oh.